The Factionist Old Recruit by Ryan McHarg. Chapter 1. The Platform. Mick. Barely conscious of the city speeding past outside the windows of the Maglev cabin, Mick was engrossed in his paperback novel. It was one of his favourites. "Have you heard a word I've said?" Leland leaned over the top of Mick's book in order to make eye contact. His eyes scanned him. "What?" Mick asked abruptly, jolted from the story. He did his best to grin jovially at his friend. The Maglev was the main transport option between the two sides of the city, leading the cabins to be overcrowded and boisterous. The noise level in the mornings made talking difficult, and so Mick usually just read, which hadn't been a problem till now. "Oh, never mind. I've wasted way too many of my talking points on you." Leland cracked a smile with a slight chuckle of disbelief before lowering his head. Mick mirrored the chuckle and returned to his novel, turning to the next page, although he was still slightly annoyed by the interruption. He needed the book world to calm him and release him from the real one. The real world was an unwanted distraction from his need to escape. It became more obvious that there was a need for change every day, especially on the Maglev, where the upscale and low were combined in some mad scientist-imposed psychological social experiment. He tried to ignore how the social elite seemed completely oblivious to those around them. They were absorbed with their devices. Even worse was their ability to pretend to ignore everyone beneath them, like walking around a puddle. The amount of wealth represented in one rail car could be spread and still leave everyone rich. That didn't matter to those with it, it probably didn't matter to those without it either. No one cared about anyone else. "You're the only guy I've ever met that still reads paper books." Mick was less annoyed by Leland's continued interruption, mainly because he hadn't really gone back to reading. Yet the seemingly sharp subject change between his head and Leland's complaint increased his annoyance. "Lots of people think paper books are a wonderful experience. In fact, there are meta-communities that buy and trade physical books for a living. Dude, if I was interested in such things, and that's a big if, I would just access any of the thousands of libraries available on my PC without having to talk to any meta-community." Leland smirked. "Besides, what is that book even about?" "It's a dystopian thriller. You'd like it. This story is about a woman whose identity has been erased from her memory and is saved by rebels who are against the government." Leland's face blanched for a second before speaking. "Isn't that dystopian crap just a little overdone?" His expression filled with attitude. "Perhaps," Mick gestured, holding out his book and pointing it at Leland. "But it is easy to become lost in the story. You should try one." "Why would I ever want to lose myself in someone else's story?" The Maglev slowed abruptly, causing Mick to nearly drop his book. He could see the massive platform where all four lines converged on the main station. "Why wouldn't you? Unless, of course, you are really living your dream as a menial labourer for Tempest," Mick smiled, applauding his own wit. Leland waved his hands in the air. "Nothing more than a means to an end. It's not my life's ambition to work on the line for Tempest." Bending down, he grabbed his bag from between his feet and put it in his lap, then looked over at Mick with a stern expression of seriousness. "There are lots of things I like to do in my life." "Yeah, because over-drinking every night is doing something," Mick snapped, which he immediately regretted. Then he tried to hold back his own internal condemnation for doing nearly the same thing with drops. Leland stood up and Mick joined him, waiting for their turn to exit the Maglev transport. Two large gull wing doors swung outward and folded up above the crowds, acting as a shade from rain or sun when needed. With forced patience, Mick waited as the cabin allowed the line of riders to spill out onto the platform. Leland's pudgy face cocked over his shoulder and stared at Mick. "I don't just get drunk. You would know that if you came out once in a while." As he finished speaking, Leland's mouth stopped emitting any sound. Instead, it was replaced by the vulgar crackling of tearing metal. Mick looked up to see the source of the sound, just in time to see a large blur of steel careening towards the cabin. The steel impaled one gull wing door, collapsing it under the weight and trapping a dozen or more under it. "Get down," Leland said. His words were still overshadowed by the tumult around them. Leland's hand clutched Mick's coat, jerking them both to the floor. Seconds later, a heavy rain of glass and other debris showered down. Mick could feel the impact of several shards hitting him, one striking his face. Looking above, Mick watched in horror as an immense fireball threatened to consume the unloading passengers of the North Transport. "What the?" Leland's words were dry and uncharacteristically small. "Not sure," Mick replied, shaking his head. With his sleeves pulled down as makeshift gloves, he cautiously got up on all fours to search before hazarding to his feet. Disbelief widened his eyes as he looked around. Warped structural beams were intermixed with the shredded maglev cabin and the dead and dying. "What exploded?" Leland's voice gained some strength to rise over the dins of panic encompassing them. Taking in the scene of charred and burning transports, he answered somberly, "Looks like the Upper North Maglev transport." Sensing Leland climbing to his feet, Mick moved to make room next to him. "This is bad," Leland stated the obvious. "This is very..." A tremor interrupted him, mid-word. Looking over to his friend, Mick watched as a rippling wave exploded over them. Ear-splitting shrieks of metal quickly followed and washed over them, hammering their bodies back to the floor. Wanting to say something, Mick opened his mouth but instead closed it and covered his head from falling debris. More ominous sounds filled his senses as the massive magnetic induction railing above gave way. The dropping rails took the transport cabin with it and the long line of connected cars, each falling like dominoes, one after another, into a fatal plunge. Faces of terrified passengers in their own mangled rail cars cried out in deafening distress. Leland covered his ears and gave Mick a once-over until the sound lulled. Mick looked back to where the explosion had happened. In desperation, he hoped the shrieks were just a reaction to more of the North Rail falling, but in his heart he knew he was wrong. Instead, he watched in astonishment as a mangle of fragmented rails careened through the imposing skeleton of supports. All the wreckage barreled down, spinning in cartwheels onto the ravaged platform below, narrowly missing their own cabin. "Everyone out now!" His voice cracked with excitement and not fear. The sensation surprised him. The crowd was aware of the danger. He saw one man with a cane struggling, but most of them didn't. "Drop the cane!" Mick pulled the man's ornate cane from his gloved hand and hoisted him up and out with the others. "What are you doing?" Leland yelled. He pointed towards the rear of the cabin to a relatively open route out. "We don't have time for that. We need to get to safety." Anxiety tightened his stomach. He could see the impending ripple of a collision coming. There was nothing stable enough to latch onto as the cabin rose and fell with a raucous wave of bent supports. Both he and Leland tried to steady themselves with what they could. Images of buckling supports ran through Mick's head as he imagined the strain on them. If he had believed in a deity, it was probably the right time to pray, but he didn't. "We don't have time to help anyone." Leland pushed him towards the only way out after the first ripple. "I'm not going anywhere." Pride strengthened his posture. With so many helplessly trying to get free, he could not just abandon them. "Fine, 1 minute and not a second more," Leland turned back. "Carry those who can't walk and lead the rest out the back." Leland nodded without looking at him as he began uncovering the injured from the debris and helping them to their feet. A smile crossed Mick's face at the sight. As he heaved a girthy woman up, he heard sirens getting closer from behind him. A tap on his shoulder caught his attention and he turned to see a squad of federal emergency workers and medical response crews arriving. A group of elevated repair vehicles backed up to the collapsing structure above them, deploying outriggers to stabilise the towering edifice. Relief filled Leyland's face. Mick too felt the relief and finally released an aching exhale that he realised he must have been holding in. The effort of calming his breathing allowed him a chance to take in the damage. I guess we're safe. Satisfaction pinched his cheeks into a smile. Good. Can we let the professionals handle this now? Leland gave him a funny, crooked smirk that seemed to frame in worry or fear, although he wasn't sure which. Yeah, we can do that. Mick took one last glimpse before starting for the rear of the cabin, followed by Leland. A wall of emergency response rigs and their crews were already setting up to receive the injured. Are you all right? A woman spoke to him as they got near to her. Replying with a nod of his head, he held up his forearm to block the piercing light from her medi scanner. Come with us. You will need those looked at. The woman continued to scan him. A second pair of hands grabbed at him with care and eased him onto a gurney. Get your hands off me. I'm not going anywhere with you, Leland cried out. Mick heard a man trying to reassure him. Just do what the man says, Mick called back to Leland, trying for calmness. Some occasional grips of delayed panic made him nauseous, but he did his best to swallow it down. Easy for you to say, you've got a harem of nurses, while I have an overgrown gorilla man handling me. Mick, a semi-blurry shape, was running towards him from a nearby emergency rig. He squinted Jolene into focus. He had figured she would be called onto the scene. Being a federal emergency nurse meant responding to anything this big. It was likely that almost all units were en route. He did his best to smile through the stiffening pain of a cut around his mouth as she got closer to him. Oh my God, your face! Her words came out rushed with anxiety. Her features were tight with worry. Holding up a hand, one of the other nurses interrupted Jolene. Your vitals look good. Jolene seemed to get the point and stopped talking and looked at him for a moment. I'm glad you are going to be okay, Jolene said. Her large glossy eyes scanned the entire scene. They were almost reflective enough to see what she saw with her distant look. He felt around his mouth until a nurse nuzzled his hand back to his side. Oh, that's why smiling hurts. We need to keep your hands clear of the wounds for now. Her words cracked with energy with an implied command. Can you feel this? Another nurse touched at his hands and feet, continuing with the examination. What happened? He tried to ask with a parched throat. The dryness impeded his words and fabricated gruffness, like someone else was speaking for him. I heard a reporter say it was another attack by the factionists. Jolene's gloved hand embraced his, but who knows? Just what the terrorist group wanted, he had never heard. The last attack had been relatively tame compared to this, which made him uneasy. The city wasn't that big. Sir, you... I'm fine, release my arm. Leland's less than chipper voice speared through the moment. Quasi-amusement lit up Jolene's face. I guess it looks like Leland's going to be okay too, she said.